The first thing that you have to say about Jehoiakim is that he was raised in a godly home. He had a father who followed the ways of God, and a mother too. And now the great question after his upbringing, now that he was the king, the question was, how would he respond to the word of God?
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I don't know about you, I like to look for similarities between my life and those in the Bible. Yeah. And I look at Jehoiakim, and I think of your parents, my parents, and that's something we have in common. We were raised in godly homes.
We both had that blessing. It is a marvelous thing to be raised in a godly home. Let's give this encouragement to every godly father and mother listening to the program today. What a blessing to be in a home where you're taught the Word of God, you see an example of it lived, you're surrounded by love. That is a marvelous thing. Yeah. But today we're going to look at a story of a man called Jehoiakim, who also was raised in a godly home, and yet the path of his life was very different. He ended up burning the Word of God, taking the pages of the scroll of Scripture and burning it. What an extraordinary choice, and what a tragic outcome from a man who had such a great beginning.
Well, we're going to continue to look at Jehoiakim's story and that outcome on today's broadcast. If you can, hope you'll join us in Jeremiah chapter 36 as we begin the message, Feed on God's Word. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now we're going to talk about God's Word today. So I'd like you to take a Bible in your hand. You may have brought one to church. You can reach for that one. If you didn't, there'll be one in the pew in front of you. There may not be one for everybody, but let's make sure there's no Bible in this church that isn't going to get opened today. Because we're going to talk about the Word of God, about how God actually speaks to us. I'm going to tell you a story for a few moments, and then we're going to take up a story from Jeremiah in chapter 36. So you might like to turn to that now so that you've got it when we come to that point in a few moments. Jeremiah and chapter 36, middle of the Old Testament. Well, now we're continuing this series entitled Deck Chairs on the Titanic, and we're discovering how we can avoid taking a plunge to disaster. And I want to give you today's principle right up front. It is very simply this: if you want to avoid taking a plunge to disaster, then feed on God's Word, the Bible. Paul put it very simply in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, you've got to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You've got to let Christ's Word, the Word of God, live in you richly. Now, what does it mean to feed on the Word of God? What would it mean for the Word of Christ to live in me in a way that is rich? Well, we're going to discover that in our time together this morning. I want to tell two stories. The first is about a father, and I'll just tell that story. You can look it up later. And the second is about a son, and that's the one we're going to find in Jeremiah and chapter 36. The stories are held together because they're both stories about men who heard the Word of God. They heard from the Bible, but they had completely opposite reactions to it. Now, the first is the story of Josiah. Some of you may be familiar with this story. At the age of 26, Josiah experienced something quite remarkable. He was the king over Judah, the southern part of God's people, just over 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. And he had planned that there would be a major project of remodeling the temple building. Money had been gathered from taxes to pay for this, and it had been stored in a vault in the temple. And when the time came to initiate the building project, Josiah sent the Secretary of State down to the temple to get the high priest to open up the old hidden vault and to bring out the money so that the payment could be made for the renovations that were being done on the temple building. Well, when the high priest went into the old vault in the temple and he brought out the money, he made a fascinating discovery. There was a dusty, old, disused book, probably a scroll. It was the book that we call Deuteronomy. It was part of the Bible. It was the Word of God. This book had become lost because during the previous 50 years, the king who had reigned before had taken a completely different path to the Word of God. He had no place for it, and so I guess the priests had just thrown the old book of God's law into the vault and left it there. And now all these years later, it was discovered, and when it was discovered, it was brought to Josiah the king. Now I want you to try and imagine the scene. Here's someone 26 years old, and they've never heard the Word of God. And this old dusty book is found in the vault, and it's brought to King Josiah. And Josiah says, "Read me the Word of God." And so the secretary began to read the Word of God to the king. He read the whole of Deuteronomy. It's a fascinating book to read. It's a long book, but you can read it in one sitting. You'll get the impact of it just as it came to King Josiah. And when he heard the Word of God, we're told that he tore his robes. You can read this in 2 Kings chapter 22. And he said, "Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words in this book." He realized when he heard the Word of God that he lived in a culture that had gone in a completely different direction. You'll often experience that at church. As you hear the Word of God, you'll think to yourself, "This is completely different from the world in which I live." And Josiah realized that. I'm living in a culture that has gone completely the opposite direction from what is said in this book, and therefore God's anger upon us must be very great. That's why he tore his robes. That was an ancient way of expressing deep sorrow and repentance. Then he did something else. You read about it in 2 Kings 23. He called for a national day of prayer and repentance. He gathered a vast crowd in the temple, and he read, the king himself actually read the whole of the book of Deuteronomy aloud in their hearing. Then he followed it up by going on a personal campaign all around the country in which he smashed the idols that had been set up and closed down some of the dark pits of evil that had prospered over the previous 50 years. It was an extraordinary change. And God says about Josiah at the end of his life that there never was a king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and all his strength. That's the first story. Josiah heard the Word of God, and when he heard it, he believed it, and he obeyed it, and he not only believed it and obeyed it personally, but he communicated it, he proclaimed it to the whole of the community, the whole nation at that time. Now, the second story I want us to follow, and this will bring us to Jeremiah in chapter 36, is the story of Jehoiakim. Because Jehoiakim was Josiah's son. So the first thing that you have to say about Jehoiakim is that he was raised, like any of us, in a godly home. He had a father who followed the ways of God, and a mother too. And now the great question, after his upbringing, now that he was the king, the question was, how would he respond to the Word of God? Where would he lead the people of God? Now, Jehoiakim became the king when he was 25 years old. And his first decision didn't seem very encouraging. Because as soon as he became king, he decided that his first priority was to build a lavish palace for himself. He decided that this would be the first priority, though frankly it was not a good time for that kind of expenditure. He couldn't afford to build the palace, so he had to have forced labor to do it. It was his first big mistake. He bought into this huge house that simply was beyond his means. And it was a great mistake, a wrong priority. Secondly, he'd built a life strategy around an alliance with Egypt, a lavish lifestyle and a mistaken life strategy. When Jehoiakim came to the throne, Egypt was the great superpower of the day. And he thought to himself, you know, we're a little country, but as long as we're protected by the big firepower of Egypt, we'll be secure, we'll be fine. But during Jehoiakim's reign, there was a great battle. an important battle in history between Egypt and Babylon that took place in a place in the north called Carchemish. It was a heavy defeat for Egypt, and it marked a great shift in the balance of power in the world, away from Egypt and towards Babylon. Now, Babylon imposed taxes on God's people, and Jehoiakim accepted that for 3 years, though in his heart of hearts, he always felt that this was only a little problem, and that given time, with the help of Egypt, everything would be just fine again. And that was his second big mistake, because God's hand was in the rise of Babylon, and Jehoiakim was trying to resist something that God was doing.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Feed on God's Word. We're in Jeremiah chapter 36, and we're going to get back to this message in just a moment. But if you ever miss a broadcast or you just want to go back and listen to it again, you can do that by coming to our website, unlockingthebible.org, or you can listen on the Unlocking the Bible app. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it when you start at our website, unlockingthebible.org. All right, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Now, during the times of both Josiah and Jehoiakim, there was a prophet, and his name was Jeremiah. A prophet was a person who actually heard the words of God, so that they were actually able to speak the words of God to the people. So a prophet was not like a journalist or a commentator who you would see on a news program simply giving their perspective on the stories of the day. A prophet actually heard the word of God, was moved by the Spirit of God in such a way that they were actually able to speak the words of God to the people. God spoke to the prophets so that the prophets spoke from God. Now, what Jeremiah had been saying was not terribly popular, and he had actually been banned from the temple. And that brings us to the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 36 that I hope you have open in front of you now. Look at verse 1 of Jeremiah 36. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. At this point in the story, that was a total of 23 years. And God says to Jeremiah, I want you to write down every word of prophecy that I have given to you over a period of 23 years. I want you to write it all down and put it in one place on a scroll. And so Jeremiah called his secretary, a man by the name of Baruch, and began dictating the words of God that had been given to him over this period of 23 years. And sure enough, Baruch wrote them all down on a scroll. At the end of that time, Jeremiah said, verse 5, look at it there. I am restricted, he said. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. He'd been banned from speaking there because he was so unpopular. So he says to his secretary, Baruch, so you go to the house of the Lord, that's the temple, on a day of fasting, and you read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. So as we follow the story, Baruch went to the temple, and he read the words of the Lord from the scroll. He found a house, verse 10, a room that belonged to Gemariah, a man who obviously supported the word of God, and this little room was above the new gate to the temple. And so if you can picture Baruch, he's standing there with his scroll up on this floor above the ground level, and he's reading out from the window over the gate as crowds and crowds of people are coming in. And as they come into the temple, they hear the word of God. Now, there was a man who was in that crowd, and his name was Micaiah. Micaiah was the grandson of the secretary of state who had actually read the words of the book of Deuteronomy to old King Josiah 18 years previously. Now his grandson stands in the courtyard and hears the word that God has given to Jeremiah being read aloud over the temple area. And as he listens to the word of God, he thinks to himself, this is something that has to be heard at the highest level. This has to be heard in the palace. The king has to know what God says. Now, Micaiah, because his grandfather had been the Secretary of State, obviously had access to places other people couldn't go, and so he goes into the palace and actually interrupts a committee meeting of some of the Secretary of State's assistants and colleagues in government that are actually sitting in a meeting in the palace, and Micaiah actually breaks in on them in the middle of their meeting. Verse 13, Micaiah told them what he'd heard. And immediately they send for Baruch. They say, you know, if there is a word of God, it needs to be heard in the palace. So Baruch now comes into this interrupted meeting of the Secretary of State, and he reads the word of God. And they hear it, and it has such impact upon them that they say this has to go all the way to the king himself. The king must hear this word for the good of this nation. And so verse 16, when they had heard these words, they looked at each other in fear. And they said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. And so as we follow the story, they now come upstairs to the king's private quarters, and all of the king's personal attendants are standing around there. It must have seemed like old times. It was now 18 years since the dusty old book of the law had been found in the temple vault and had been read with such power in Josiah's life. But now there's a new king, and the word of God is being brought on a scroll. When Josiah had heard the word of God, it was a personal turning point for him, and it was a national turning point for the people. The question was, how would the new king receive the word of God? It went to a man by the name of Jehudi, who was a messenger, to actually read from the scroll. Verse 22. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. And whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns from the scroll, you'd open a scroll bit by bit, a few inches at a time, and read in columns, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. Now, the Secretary of State and the officials from his department who had already heard the scroll must have cringed as they saw this. This is the word of God. And the king's taking a penknife to it, and he's saying, this is what I think of that. And he's tossing it in the fire till it's all gone. Now, the question, of course, that we'll want to ask at this point is very simply, what did he burn? What did he burn? Now, you might like to turn back, and this is the only other cross-reference I'll ask you to turn to today. It's still in Jeremiah, but go back to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah in chapter 22. What did he burn? Well, we're told that he burned the words that God had given. The scroll had the words that God had given over the 23 years that Jeremiah had prophesied during the time of Josiah and during the time of Jehoiakim. That means that it was the vast majority of what is written in the first 36 chapters of Jeremiah. That was what was on the scroll. Not everything in these first 36 chapters. There are a few chapters that were dated later in the time of Zedekiah or the letter to the exiles and so forth. But what was read to him was most of what was in the first part of Jeremiah, including chapter 22. Now try and picture these words being read by Jehudi to the king. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, Remember what Jehoiakim's first choice had been? His upper rooms by injustice, making his countrymen work for nothing, not paying them for his labor. He says, I will build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms. Jehoiakim was sitting in them at that very moment as he heard this. So he makes large windows in it, panels it with cedar, decorates it with red. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? That's Josiah, of course. He did what was right and just, and all went well with him. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy. And so all went well with him. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are set only on dishonest gain, shedding innocent blood, on oppression and extortion. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. They'll not mourn for him. He will have the burial of a donkey, dragged away and thrown outside the gates of Jerusalem. And Jehoiakim said, give me that scroll. And he took out his penknife and he said, I'll show you what I think of that. Cut it off and threw it in the fire. Now you see what's happening here? Jehoiakim, the word of God condemns your lifestyle. Your run-up debts that you cannot pay. You think of no one but yourself. You place intolerable burdens on other people. Your whole life is about yourself. Jehoiakim, God condemns your lifestyle. There's no other way to describe this. God's word nailed his sin. That's one of the things the Bible does for us. God nails our sins. That's why we're sometimes a bit reluctant to read it. When God nailed his sin, tore up the word of God and he threw it in the fire.
A really powerful look at the responses of two men, two kings, on how they reacted to hearing the word of God. And we're really seeing the importance of making sure that we feed on God's word. We actually not just hear the word, but we allow it to permeate our lives, to change us. Our message is entitled Feed on God's Word. It's part of a series called Deck Chairs in the Titanic, How to Avoid a Plunge to Disaster. And if you want to get a copy of the series for yourself or maybe to pass along to someone who you think could benefit from listening, ask about Deck Chairs in the Titanic when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of a book written by A.W. Tozer. It's called The Pursuit of God. And Colin, who is A.W. Tozer?
Well, A.W. Tozer was a pastor on the south side of Chicago in the 30s, 40s, and 50s of the last century. So he's writing from a time ago. But, oh boy, does his writing speak to us today. He really had an intense longing after God. And that just comes through in his writing. He says, I want to encourage an intense longing after God. The Pursuit of God is his best book. It's certainly his best-selling book. I have my copy here. It is, you can see, Steve, it is
You've
so...
You've worn that out.
Absolutely worn out. It's marked up all over. I need a new copy from Unlocking the Bible this month for sure. I've gone back to it so many times. You know, A.W. Tozer wrote this book on his knees. That's very striking to me. He must have been walking very closely with God when he wrote this book. And when you read it, what you feel is that there's just something pouring out of the soul of this man who's hungry for God. And he gives you a sense of, yeah, I'm hungry for God too. I want more of God. And you have a sense in the reading of Tozer's Pursuit of God that you really are going after God and you're finding out something more about him as well.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of this book, The Pursuit of God. As you give a gift of any amount this month, you can give online by coming to unlockingthebible.org or you can give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Or again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. One ancient king actually burned the Bible. Find out why when you join us for the next Unlocking the Bible.